You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
What a privilege to minister the Word of God to you this morning. One thing I can tell you, whatever we do for Jesus, we have to do it with everything in us. Amen. He is the great I am. He's the beginning and the end. And there is only one I am in our lives, in Household of Christ, in this ministry, on this platform, in this church, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. There is only one I am in Household of Christ. So in Mark 12, verse 29 to 31, I'm starting my message with saying, Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And there is no commandment greater than these. Amen. You see, God values one. Have you ever thought of that? God values one. One heart devoted to Him. One life devoted to Him. One moment devoted to Him. One second devoted to Him. One breath devoted to Him. One step devoted to Him. God values one. Jesus was so intrigued with one that Jesus went to a remote area where there was one demon-possessed man bound in chains, being tormented his whole life. He'd walked on water. The disciples had gone through a bit of trauma. They thought they were going to drown. And yet Jesus comes walking on the water and saves them. And Jesus says to the disciples, let's go to the other side. Because Jesus had one person on his heart. You see, where they went to was not a place that you would naturally go to because it was a graveyard. A graveyard made of limestone. And nobody would go to a graveyard unless somebody had died, right? But Jesus took himself and his disciples to this remote area to meet up with one man that needed a touch from Jesus. You see, Jesus sees the one. Jesus notices you. You might think you're in a crowd. You might think you're in one of 500, 600 people here today. But to Jesus, you're one. And Jesus would take a whole group of disciples to a remote area to meet up with one man to set him free. That's the God we serve. Amen. That's the God we serve. Jesus would take his group of disciples to one little girl sick in a bed and on his way be told that this little girl is dead. But that didn't put Jesus off. Jesus went to the one because the one needed him. Think of David and Goliath. One stone killed Goliath. Think of life. Eve, one fruit, one bite from one fruit changed our life forever. The power of one. You see, the devil cannot wait to put one thought in your mind to destroy your life. He cannot wait to put one thought in your mind that you will process and take as your own. You see, he knows God has given you 8,000 promises. 8,000 promises in the Bible. The enemy knows that. And he cannot wait to put one negative thought in your mind to destroy any promise God has for you. Because he knows if you embrace one thought, it's enough to destroy your life. One thought that comes from his evil hand can destroy your life. Imagine what one thought from the hand of God can do. Imagine if you embrace one of the 8,000 promises as your own. 8,000 promises God has given you. 8,000 promises. Think about the value of one moment in God's presence. We love being in God's presence. In this church, we love the presence of Jesus. Worship is who we are. Worship is what Household of Christ is about. To give worth, to give adoration, to give honor to the one that deserves it all. Think of what one miracle does in your life. Think of what one answered prayer does in your life. You see, Psalm 16 verse 8 says, I've set the Lord always before me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. You see, if the Lord is set before you, over and over each day, 1 second at a time, one thought at a time, one moment at a time, your life will change. Amen? Are you with me this morning, church? Amen? You need to choose Jesus over and over again in your day. One thought at a time, one moment at a time, 1 second at a time. Just acknowledge Jesus in your day. Amen? You see, God doesn't want to be a part of a mixture of things in your life. Jesus isn't just one other thing. Jesus is the thing. Amen? There's not all other things, and then we add Jesus on top like a sauce, like a pepper sauce on a steak. Amen? Jesus is everything. Jesus is the entire meal. Jesus is everything that you can put on that plate and everything that you don't even know you have on the plate. That is who Jesus is to you this morning. Amen? You see, C.S. Lewis says that worship expresses your inner health. Worship expresses your inner health. And one way we can regulate what's going on in our inner health is to see which idols and asher poles we tolerate in our lives. And you know, mostly we know what idols are. Many people speak about idols. Many people preach about idols. We know what's idols in our hearts. Amen? You know what's an idol in your heart? Anything you put on the throne of your heart that takes the place of Jesus. Amen? That can be even your own opinion. Your own opinion can be an idol. Do you know that? That's quite scary, right? But asher poles is something that we don't always speak about. But in those days, asher poles, in the days of the Israelites, asher poles were 60 feet long, and they were often planted in the backyards of people's homes. And they were a symbol of protection and virility, which actually meant that we would have more cows and more babies. Amen? You with me this morning? I'm trying to make it as easy as possible. So Israel would plant these asher poles in the back of their gardens. They loved Jesus. They served Jesus. They wanted to do something for Jesus, but they added the asher pole. You see, the point is, Israel added onto Yahweh. They did not replace him, but in adding on, you replace. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Which asher poles do you have to pull down? Gideon went and pulled down. Josiah went and pulled down asher poles. Which asher poles do you need to pull down this morning? Amen? You love Jesus. You're serving Jesus. You want to do something for Jesus, but you just want to add something extra because you're not sure if Jesus can actually do everything that he says he is. Or maybe Jesus just needs a little bit of help. Maybe we need to look in our hearts and see what are those asher poles in our lives, in our backyards. Because you know, you're only as sick as your deepest secret. You're only as sick as your deepest secret. If you come out with your deepest secret to Jesus and you bring it into the light and the Holy Spirit deals with it, it has no more power. Because its power is in its secrecy. Are you with me this morning, church? Its power is in its secrecy. When you hide something from the light of God's face, it has power. But when you put it in the light of God's love, the power goes away and God can deal with it. You see, the more Jesus satisfies your soul, the less you will crave other things. The more Jesus satisfies your soul, young people, the less you will crave other things. You see, Isaiah 58 verse 11 says, "And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desires in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring whose water never runs dry." Imagine. Does everything about Christ satisfy your soul? I want to ask you this morning, does everything about Jesus satisfy your soul? Are you worshipers coming to the throne room of God in spirit and in truth? Spirit and in truth. With spirit and truth. To the spirit of God and the truth of who I am. Coming before God and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You see, Jesus is the bright and morning star. He roars like a lion, but he's as gentle as a dove. Do you know this Jesus? Don't you want to know him more? Don't you want him to satisfy your soul? You see, Jesus is also referred to as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Have you read that before in the Bible? Have you ever read about Jesus being the Lamb of God taking away the sins of this world? But you know what? There's a reference to a lamb in the Old Testament. And this is what I want to speak to you about this morning, the Passover lamb. Have you heard of the Passover lamb? You see, the Passover lamb was an animal that God led the Israelites to use as a sacrifice in Egypt on the night God was going to strike the firstborn sons of the household. Do you remember the story? Moses had gone to Pharaoh, and over again, Pharaoh had hardened his heart. And doesn't matter what had happened, he refused to let the Israelites go. And this was the final plague that came. So God instructs every family to select a one-year-old lamb without defect and keep that lamb in their home for 4 days, from the 10th to the 14th day. Can you imagine a little white lamb without defect in your home for 4 days? Who has children in the house this morning? What do you think would happen if we had a little white lamb in our home for 4 days? We would probably give the lamb a name. They would start feeding the lamb. They would have to give it water. They'd probably start petting the lamb. They'd start to get to love the lamb. They'd get to know the lamb. And the lamb became a part of this family for 4 days. But you know what? At Passover, God's people were instructed to roast, to kill this lamb and to eat the entire lamb with bitter herbs and bread without yeast. Can you imagine? You've lived 4 days with this little lamb, but the blood of this little lamb needs to be applied to the doors of your home to save you from the angel of death. What would your family go through? What would your children have gone through? Abba, Yahweh has given us a little lamb, but guess what? We are going to kill this lamb in 4 days, and we're going to have to eat this lamb. Not just the lamb. God says bitter herbs and unleavened bread with the lamb, and take its blood and apply it to the door of our homes. They applied it to the mantles on the side and the top of the door. You know what the beautiful thing is? When they applied the blood of the lamb on the door, they used hyssop. And hyssop actually had cleansing power. It was like an antibiotic if you ate it. So God is saying, use this hyssop as a symbol of what the blood can do. Put the blood on it and apply it to the door of your home and you will be safe. You see, when the angel of death passed that home, he didn't look who was inside. He just looked what was on the door. You see, Jesus says, when it's time to roast this lamb and eat this lamb, it's going to hurt. Because it hurt the Father's heart to give His only Son to die for you. Amen? And we will never understand what happened in the heart of the Father. But we could have a small, small, small taste of it when we have a little lamb in our home and understand the value of giving that little lamb up for a sacrifice to save someone's life. You see, serving Jesus is supposed to cost us something, church. Are you with me this morning? It was important for the family to pause and to consider how important this little lamb was. How much it meant to understand the sacrifice and the cost involved. And you know what? This had to be done every year. You see, God also said that He saw the lamb's blood on the doorframe of the house and He passed over. The Passover. The destroyer didn't come in. Today, when we apply the blood of Jesus over our hearts, over the lintels of our hearts, over our families, over our homes, the destroyer cannot come into our homes, church. Amen? The destroyer cannot come into our homes. Because just like I started with one, the blood of one lamb saved a whole household. The life of one man saved an entire world. One man on one cross, saying one statement, "It is finished," changed our lives. Amen? Amen? You see, the New Testament established Jesus Christ as the Passover lamb being sacrificed. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7b says, "For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." John the Baptist said, "Jesus is the Lamb of God." Even in Revelations, John actually refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. But interestingly, Jesus was crucified over the time of Passover. Is this not profound? For years, Yahweh, Abba Father, has taught His people the value of a lamb sacrificed. The value of loving something and having to give it up. for something greater. Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross for you and I. How is it possible that the Creator had to come die for the created? And many times we come into the throne room of Jesus and we treat things that are holy and pure as something common. You see, like the Israelites church, we need to eat the entire lamb, the entire Jesus, everything about Jesus, and the bitter herbs and the unleavened bread. Do you understand what I'm saying? Many of us just eat a piece of Jesus, something that we think is digestible. But Jesus said you eat the entire lamb. As the body of Christ, we need to eat the entireness of Jesus. Amen? And sometimes when we hit a bitter herb, we need to bite that bitter herb and swallow it. Amen? Sometimes Jesus is going to tell you to do something you don't want to do. Who wants to always forgive? Amen? But Jesus is looking for hearts that soften fast. He's looking for love that moves fast. He's looking for surrender that happens fast. Because as in the old days with the lamb, the entire lamb had to be consumed. We need to consume the entireness of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning, church? Amen? You see, we often love the resurrection story of Jesus, but we don't love his death. We love the part of the story about what we got out of what Jesus did, but we don't love the part of the story that he has to be the example that we follow now. Are we greater than our master? Must our master lay down his life for us and we only lay down a part? Are you greater than your master? Is the student greater than the teacher? But you see, we take the Lamb of God and we just consume a piece of him. We just want this piece. And Lord, and I'm going to tell you how to do the rest, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I'm going to instruct you how to work in this way. What about we say one sentence to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Let your mercy speak for me. Let your mercy speak in the situation instead of instructing God on how he should do things. You know, when you go into a business deal, when you take your children to school, when you're with a friend, when you're with a colleague, you need to get the Holy Spirit's opinion on what to say. You can't ask the Lord to stay at home while you're dealing with things. And then later on say, Jesus, please bless me. Lord, I've got this business deal, bless me. Have you asked him if this is the business deal he wants you to be involved in? Have you asked him if this is what his heart is for you? Have you taken one moment in his presence, 1 second on your knees to ask Jesus his opinion about your future? Amen? But we so often run into things because we do not want to consume the entire lamb. We love the resurrection, but we don't love the death. And church, I want to tell you as Christians, we need to die daily to ourselves. We need to die to our sinful nature. We need to die to everything about us. And love, joy, patience, goodness, everything beautiful from the heart of God needs to spill out of us. But for love to spill out, offense has to die. For peace to be your portion, turmoil needs to die. For long suffering to be there, irritation needs to die. Amen? And we need to consume everything about Jesus. Everything about Jesus. Everything about Jesus. Because you see, one word, Lazarus come forth, brought Lazarus out of a tomb. It did not need the disciples' opinion. It did not need the disciples' direction. It did not need the disciples' strength. Jesus needed one word. He opened his mouth. He put air over his vocal cords and he said, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came forth. What is dead in your life today, church? You don't need a disciple. You don't need a friend. The best friend you need is Jesus Christ. Amen? The complete Lamb of God, because in one drop of blood, there's enough to solve all your problems. Amen? In one drop of blood, there's enough to set you free, to bring healing to your family, to bring healing to your mental state. One drop of blood. One drop of blood. Jesus gave everything. He withheld nothing. What are we withholding from him this morning? Amen? What are we withholding from him this morning? I really pray that this morning is a time where you ask, Lord, what are the Asher poles in my backyard? What are the things that I think are cute but is not cute in your eyes, Jesus? You know what? Some of our Asher poles is just me, my opinion, my stubborn ways, my arrogance, who I think I am, how I think God should move. And you know what? Many times God doesn't move the way we move. Then we get offended with him. Is that not true? And how sad is that? Because he's the answer to everything. One thought in the right direction will bring the presence of God into your life. You see, when we have communion, we're going to have communion this morning. Amen. I'm going to ask the team to come up on platform because I said I'm going to do it as part of the sermon today. Because how can we not have communion and think of the Passover lamb and think of Jesus on the cross as our Passover lamb without having communion? Amen. Because when Jesus went to the cross, his blood flowed over and over and over again for you. When they put the crown of thorns on his head, his blood flowed for you. His blood flowed to give you deliverance from any mental state, from any thoughts, from any anxiety, anything that comes from your mind. Jesus was pierced in his side and blood and water flowed for your redemption of your soul. When they took Jesus' precious hands and they put the one hand on the cross and they nailed it and the other one they nailed it, it was for you. Jesus did not have to die for himself. It was for us. When they nailed his feet to the cross, it was for you. Because Jesus took one moment in eternity to put you first. Do you understand the power of one, church? One cry, "It is finished," changed our life forever. Because Jesus went into the pit of hell and took the keys back, that we can walk with him. But you see, before he went to the cross, he served his friends communion. Because the work on the cross is the only way back. You have communion in your hands this morning, amen. Jesus is the water of life, and he's the well that we draw the water from. Jesus is the water of life and the well that we drink from. We can only understand the work of the cross with the help of the Holy Spirit. As you open your communion today, Jesus said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Even as you eat the body of Jesus this morning, take a moment to remember Jesus. Take a moment to remember his work on the cross. Take a moment remembering his mother in that moment. Take a moment to remember him turning to the prisoner being crucified with him and saying, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The biggest thing you need to remember is when Jesus said, "Forgive them, Lord, they do not know what they're doing." Let us eat the body of Jesus this morning. I'm doing it a little bit different today because it's part of my sermon. Take time to remember Jesus. It cost Jesus everything to give us one more day. It cost Jesus everything to give us one more moment. It cost Jesus everything to give us one more go. Remember Jesus. Remember all the stripes on his back. Where he said, "I will pay the price for every single sickness and disease that ever wants to attack my children. My blood will speak of healing, of restoration, of a new tomorrow." Every sickness in this world needs to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Every sickness needs to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. No sickness has the power that the blood of Jesus does not have. His blood did what nothing else could do, because life is in the blood of Jesus. And his blood is speaking a word for you this morning. Amen. There is nothing more final and more powerful than the blood of Jesus. There is nothing that contends with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the reason we can reconcile with our Father. Once you were far off, once you were lost, once you were distant, but Jesus brought us in by the blood of Jesus. As you drink the blood of Jesus this morning, Jesus, we thank you for the blood. We thank you for your blood, Father. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Father, the precious Lamb of God, that we can use the blood that you shed to put it on the doors of our hearts, on the doors of our lives, on the doors of our families, Father, and keep the destroyer out, Father. We thank you for the one life that was given to give us a better future, Father. We acknowledge you, Jesus, as we drink the blood of Jesus this morning. He took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of my new covenant in my blood. Whenever you do this, remember me." It takes one moment in one day to remember Jesus, amen? To remember Jesus. Jesus can do in your life what you cannot imagine. But you need to acknowledge Jesus, church, amen? Let's deal with those things in our lives that are keeping us away from Jesus. You see, church, God values one. One lamb was enough to save a household in the Old Testament. Jesus on the cross, one man, one life, was enough to save the entire universe. One man on one cross gave us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance and a sixth chance, and some of us a 60th chance and a 100th chance, and some of us a millionth chance and a 6 millionth, and some of us a billionth chance, because the blood of Jesus never ever gives up on you. Amen? The blood of Jesus never ever gives up on you. You see, one name is the name above all names. And what is that name? Jesus. One name is the name above any name. What is that name?
Jesus.
One drop of blood can save you. One drop of blood can heal you. One drop of blood can deliver you. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, I want to ask you, are you going to be the cause of that rejoicing this morning?
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.